They may have called it the Queen of Roads. But as Roman poet Horace once noted, the Appian Way is best enjoyed when taken slow. We'll look at following the actual footsteps of ancient Romans on the roads they built 2,000 years ago, a little later in the hour ahead. Right now, one of the most respected Irish journalists of our time, Fintan O'Toole, is explaining for us how much Ireland has changed in recent years and why. Okay, Fintan, we've been talking about this sort of background of Ireland, and I've been going to Ireland for decades, and I just get the sense of a very strong national identity. The main boulevard historically in Dublin seems to be O'Connell Street, named after one of your great founding politicians. The street is just, it's got a big meridian, and it's one great Irish patriot after another, working all the way up to the Garden of Remembrance, where you guys won your independence. And it's an inspirational stroll, even if you don't know Irish history, to just gain a respect for how hard fought your independence is.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a difficult story, of course, you know, because it's a story of trying and failing, you know, for so long to actually establish an Irish independent state. You know, Ireland was never independent, really, as a state. So even if you go back, you know, way into the past, we had a variety of little kingdoms, you know. That one of the reasons, I suppose, they were conquered was because the Irish never actually got together to form a single kingdom. So in a way, there's never been a single Irish state on the island, you know. And so the struggle to create this, you know, went through lots of phases, sometimes very violent, sometimes just very clever parliamentary tactics and, you know, trying every kind of different way of trying to achieve Irish independence. And it was achieved. I mean, we're just over 100 years now since the Irish state was
established. I was
going to
say, it's 100 years, isn't it? It hasn't been a cakewalk since then. But getting back to that boulevard and this stroll where we celebrate how Ireland finally did get it together, you've got one modern monument there. And it's called the Spike, I think. And it's just like, it's as tall as a skyscraper, but it's shaped like my mechanical pencil, basically. And it goes right up into the sky. And I understand that is sitting on what was a very proud English monument that some feisty patriots decided to blow up.
Yeah. You know, like when I was a little kid, there was this thing called Nelson's Pillar.
Right.
And Nelson was Admiral Nelson. He was a great British naval hero from the beginning of the 19th century. And, you know, when he died, the British decided that there should be monuments to him all over the United Kingdom. And of course, the biggest one had to be in the most rebellious place, which was Dublin. So they had this huge pillar with Nelson on top. And actually, the pillar was kind of beautiful, but they should have just replaced Nelson. They should have, you know, taken him down, put somebody else up. But the IRA, which was the sort of militant nationalist group in 1966, decided to blow it up. But I remember going in, you know, and seeing this huge stone pillar cut off halfway up and rock, granite everywhere, and Nelson's head, you know, this huge head sort of lying there.
Admiral Nelson. I mean, in England, Admiral that would Nelson just be great. Such a heartbreak. But in Ireland, you kind of go, yeah. So, yeah. But to me, it's just this indomitable, is that the word, irrepressible national spirit. I just think there's this tribal Ireland that even survives in the United States. Because you have that diaspora where there's, 30 million honorary Irish people in the United States.
Absolutely. You know, and it's become, I think, almost more important. You know, it has its downsides. Some of it, you know, tribalism can be dangerous. But I think the good side of the Irish thing is that people get very worried about identity, you know, and are we going to lose our identity? And look at what's happened to Ireland. Look at all the tragedies, the famines, the disruptions, the poverty, the mass emigration. And look at where we are. Are we less Irish? No. You know, it's a very strong pulse that just keeps coming back. And it tells us that actually, you know, we can deal with an awful lot of change.
Yeah.
And still be who we are. You know, we have to be who we are now. It's not nostalgia or going backwards, you know, but it's actually saying, you know what, we still feel this kind of relationship to each other, to our history, to our culture.
I can almost imagine some of the diaspora reminds you because they've left the old country. And they're going to, if you're not kind of flying that Irish flag properly, they'll dream up a festival. Let's call it St. Patrick's Day. I guess that's an American creation, isn't it?
St. Patrick's Day is an American creation, yeah. And so is Riverdance. And so, you know, you know, all these things that feed back in, you know, and that to me is wonderful. You know, I've got grandkids now, you know, and I feel those grandkids are going to live in a very different country, very different world.
Yeah.
But are they still going to feel that sense of identification with Ireland wherever they are? Absolutely they are. I feel really confident about that. I think it's a culture that just will survive like that.
Fintan O'Toole is often referred to as Ireland's leading public intellectual for how he writes about its issues and people. He's our special guest right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Fintan chronicles the changes to Irish society since his birth in Dublin in 1958 in his book called We Don't Know Ourselves, A Personal History of Modern Ireland. He also writes a column twice a week for the Irish Times. Fintan is a visiting professor in Irish Letters at Princeton University in New Jersey, where he's joining us from their studios. We have links to his work with this week's show at ricksteves.com/radio. Fintan, I want to touch on the Troubles. We don't need to get into what exactly this blow-by-blow about the Troubles, but I feel like what a challenge that Ireland had and what a success story. Can you define just in a couple of sentences, what were the Troubles?
So the Troubles started in 1968 in Northern Ireland. So they're very much a phenomenon of that part of Ireland that stayed in the United Kingdom. You had a minority, largely Catholic, which did not want to be in the United Kingdom. You had a majority, largely Protestant, who did want to be in the United Kingdom. So you had this really fundamental clash of identity. The Catholic minority had been mistreated, really, by the Protestant governments that had controlled Northern Ireland since 1922. And there was a rising generation of people who were inspired by the civil rights movement in America, you know, who were protesting. This all kind of got more and more antagonistic. And very sadly, it descended into violence and it descended into paramilitary violence. You had the IRA on the one side, you had loyalist paramilitaries on the other side, you had the British Army. So the terrible, terrible thing about it was that nobody thought in 1968 that this could last for very long. It seemed like, yeah, we might have a sort of terrible bloodletting, but it'll be over in a couple of years. Lasted for 30 years. And during that period, there was a lot of despair because it felt like, you know, you killed one of my people, we were going to kill one of yours. That sort of tit for tat logic right. That just kind of is self-generating, just goes on and on and on. And as you say, it was one of the great achievements, actually, not just of Ireland, but to be fair, of British governments, of America. You know, a lot of people helped out because there was this great goodwill towards Ireland, actually, internationally. And in 1998, we got the peace deal, which really was remarkable, you know, which stopped the violence, disarmed paramilitary organizations, which is an incredibly difficult thing to do, and tried to create new institutions and new ways of doing things. Has it been 100% successful? No. Still a lot of problems. Are there still divisions? Absolutely. But you have a whole generation of people now who've grown up in Northern Ireland in peace.
Yeah.
And able to think about their own futures and their own identities without that horrible pressure of violence. And Irish America was very important in that process, you know, really encouraging. It was an Irish American, George Mitchell, who wonderful, wonderful man who chaired those peace talks, still alive, deserves every honor. And you know, Irish people feel just great, great affection for him and gratitude.
It's an inspiration to other countries that are dealing with sectarian violence. I hope it's a lesson for generations and centuries later.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it is an inspiration because actually what we came up with, you know, is the fact that you have to live with people who are different from you. You know?
That's kind of it.
You know, in the end, you can't get what you want, but you can get what you can live with. You can get what's better than this endless cycle of violence.
And you will have people still marching in Orange Day parades teaching their children how to hate. I mean, I can't believe in Portrush, just in recent times. I was there for an Orange Day march and up in the north of Ireland, and there are still people that are the kind of hateful, angry people that are afraid of this reality that we got to live together.
Absolutely. You know, there's people whose status, and this is on both sides in different ways, but there's people whose status is tied up with conflict and with not being them, and they have an investment in that. But as you know from being there, if you talk to the vast majority of people under 40, they've lived in a different world, you know, and they have very different kinds of aspirations. And It's good. I'm not saying all the problems are over at all, you know, but it is transformed. It is a vastly better place than it used to be.
And it didn't just happen. There were leaders, there were society leaders, there were older people that organized things for younger people. There was initiatives to get the Protestant kids and the Catholic kids to go to summer camp together so they could shed some of their parents' baggage. And it's a fascinating story and something that's worth reading more. And I'm thankful that that's an important part of your book. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Fintan O'Toole, skimming the surface of a fascinating story of Ireland that Fintan writes about in his book, We Don't Know Ourselves, A Personal History of Modern Ireland. And Fintan, we've just got a couple minutes left, and can you just comment on the church and how its role and power has changed dramatically in your lifetime, and then Brexit, and what is the impact of that that you see on Ireland's future?
So in relation to the church, it's important to say this is not really about faith or religion, you know, which I have a huge respect for. It's about what happens to an institution that has too much power. And what happened to the church in Ireland was, because Irish identity was the identity of the oppressed, part of that oppression was religious. So people put a huge amount of their political identity into being Catholic. And that meant that the church had this overweening power, which it used very, I think, abusively, really. We had these terrible institutions where women were locked away, a lot of abuse of children. And all of this starts to unravel, really, at the beginning of this century. And then when it unravels very, very rapidly. So, you know, we're in a new situation where there is no longer this package, you know, that Irish national identity equals Catholicism. Huh. And to me, that's very liberating. And I think it might also be very liberating for the church. It's not good for religion, it seems to me, to be totally tied up with a political identity. And the other thing that's going on at the same time is that is Brexit, as you mentioned, you know, has also changed things for Ireland, because it means that, I mean, I'm sad about Brexit. I think most Irish people were. We don't want to see Britain in trouble. But it does mean, just think about it like this, Rick. If you're an American company and you're thinking of investing in an English-speaking place in Europe, you know, which has access to the European market, where are you going to go? I mean, you're going to go to Ireland. You know, Ireland now has this very special place as the English-speaking country within the European Union. So between, you know, I think opening up our identity and it not being so sectarian anymore, and also, you know, having this kind of confidence that actually Ireland has a lot of soft power, you know, I think putting those two things together make me feel that Ireland's a pretty good place to be, and it's on an upward trajectory, I think. It's not going to be completely smooth.
Right.
But the future, to me, looks pretty decent in Ireland.
And Fintan, this relates to this dream of having a truly united island of Ireland. And with Brexit, well, first of all, I remember as a kid driving from North Ireland to the Republic and from the Republic to North Ireland, a dramatic difference just in the quality of the roads. We crossed the border into the Republic and you're like going into a developing country. You're going into a poor country. And if I lived in this part of Britain, Northern Ireland, I would be afraid to suddenly be ruled by Dublin. But in the generation since then, the economy is such that you can actually flip-flop it now. Ireland is the future economically from a North Ireland perspective, and that probably makes unification a little less scary for people in the North. Do you see it that way?
I think that's very well put. You know, I'm no doubt that it, you know, 30, 40 years ago, if I were a Protestant in Northern Ireland and I was looking to the South, I mean, leave everything aside about identity and religion. I just would have said, you know, exactly as you say, I don't want to be in this backwater place. You know?
Exactly.
Whereas now, you know, you're looking at a very progressive society, a society that isn't dominated by one religion anymore, is very open and tolerant, but also is very prosperous. You
and compared to Britain, Britain's not doing as well as the Republic of Ireland in a lot of ways. And the Union, the United Kingdom, the non-English components of that voted in favor of sticking with the European Union. And I think looking forward, we might see the Scottish people demand another referendum on independence. And if that happens, what's to keep Northern Ireland from reconsidering joining up with Dublin?
Yes. You know, I don't think, and I don't, in fact, want anything to happen very suddenly,
right.
You know, because these are very delicate historical moments and you want them to be well prepared and you want everybody to feel as comfortable as possible with this kind of change. But I think it's very difficult to look at it objectively and not to say, we know what the direction of travel is here, right? And the direction of travel is towards Irish unification.
Yeah.
And it's demographic, you know, the way the population is shifting, it's economic, it's political. As you say, the UK itself as an entity is really very much in doubt. And I think the key thing for us now here is to start talking about it in an open, generous, honest way, and try to recognize it can't just be a case of me from the south of Ireland in, you know, mm-hmm. saying I'm going to take over you in the north. You know, it has to be, let's do something new. Let's try and get the best out of our different traditions. We don't want to talk about it in a triumphalist way or an aggressive way. Right. But I think we do need to talk about it because it's on the horizon and it's something I think we're moving towards. And I think it's something that ultimately, if we do it properly, could be a sort of reconciliation of all that history.
Oh, it'd be a beautiful way to kind of tie a bow on the whole story, wouldn't it? I mean, that's wishful thinking, perhaps, or not going to be that simple, but it is something to hope for. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking with Fintan O'Toole. His book is We Don't Know Ourselves, A Personal History of Modern Ireland. I'd like to close just with a thought from you about a reviewer's comment on your book, Fintan. A reviewer from the Boston Globe says your book tells the story of a country that was once so fixated on maintaining an idealized vision of its past that it almost gave up on the prospect of a better future.
I think that's a brilliant way of putting it. It's a great summary of what I hope I've tried to get at in the book. You know, the strange thing that the Irish story tells everybody, I think, is that actually you've got to be honest about yourself. You know, you can't look in a sort of distorting mirror and say, we're the best people ever, we're the most Catholic people ever, whatever it is. You know, you have to be proud enough of your own identity to accept it as it really is. And I think that's what we've done.
Okay, so let's take that then for the takeaway of your book. What can we as people of the United States learn from the story that you tell of your country?
I think, first of all, you can learn that politics can work. I think there's a despair in America at the moment for very obvious reasons about whether politics can work. Yes, it can. It can transform people's lives. My life is vastly better now at the age of 65, you know, than I could have imagined it would have been 30, 40, 50 years ago. My kids' lives are better. My grandkids' lives are better. And it's because people made the leap of being honest about themselves and what was good and what was bad about their country, and also tried to come to some sort of reconciliation, you know, actually think about the fact that actually, you know what, we don't want to live in tribes. We do want to live as a country with our own identity. And I think if you can rediscover that confidence in the possibility of making life better for everybody, then it can happen.
That's a beautiful takeaway from your book. Fintan O'Toole, thank you so much for sharing with us a thoughtful insight into your beautiful Emerald Isle.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Rick, and I hope some of your listeners at least get to Ireland and get to enjoy it.
I want to get to Ireland and have a Guinness with you and talk more politics.
It'll be a pleasure.
Many days you have lingered around my cabin door. Oh, hard times come again no more.
Fintan O'Toole's latest book was released in the U.S. as We Don't Know Ourselves, A Personal History of Modern Ireland. His earlier book, A History of Ireland in 100 Objects, explains the stories behind the artifacts that are on display at the National Museum of Ireland. You can hear more from our conversation with Fintan about the Great Famine. It's in an extra to today's show on our website at ricksteves.com/radio. Up next, a journalist from Salt Lake City traces the ancient routes that took travelers from Rome all the way to today's Istanbul. It's Travel with Rick Steves.